CliffCentral.com.
All right. Let's go. Look at Pumi. She's putting on her makeup as we start. Her lipstick's on. She's ready to go.
Hey, there's touch and go here this morning. Touch and go. Never know which stage of load shedding you are in. Wake up in the dark. Go to bed in the dark.
I know. It's ridiculous.
And some of us can't get away with that. You know, you can't get away with the, you haven't even put on the lipstick.
No, I know. I mean, if I don't put on my makeup, it's a disaster.
If you don't put on that lipstick, Gareth, I don't know if we could look at you.
I know, it's frightening. we have quite a lot to do today. I mean, we're still not in the new studios, and it was expected that it would still be another week, but we may actually be on there sort of middle of next week, if all goes well, and that could be very good. So we will be doing shows live from our studio again soon, which is very exciting.
Yay.
So there's a lot happening.
Yay.
I mean, only the second day of February, and we're already kicking ass and taking names. So lots to get.
Yeah. You know what? It is only the second day of February. It feels like it's been a long year, guys.
Right?
Tigers in the streets.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, for 1 month, 2023 is already delivered. We thought Tiger King was a big deal when that came on in 2020. But when you actually have real live tigers on the streets, I have to ask a question. Like, why on earth are there people keeping these animals as pets?
More importantly, why are we more worried about pit bulls than tigers?
So funny. We were sitting in it. Well, I don't know. We should be, maybe. There are more pit bulls around than tigers. But
so you think?
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe there are more tigers. I was sitting in a meeting yesterday, and one of the people in the meeting said that her helper was early to work the other day. So she said to her, why are you here early? So she said, there's a tiger on the loose and I'm not taking any chances. she said, as soon as she'd explained that the tiger had been killed, that it had been captured and it had been shot and everything, then this woman started coming back to work late. she wasn't worried anymore. So it wasn't a motivating factor.
Except you would think that she would come in later if there's a tiger on the loose. Mm-hmm. Because then you don't want to be out in the street by yourself. You want to have other people around you, just people you can run faster than. You don't have to run faster than the tiger. The tiger must get the other people, not you.
And especially first thing in the morning when it's still dark. I mean, you know, yeah, you're catching a taxi at like 4:30 a.m. That's when tigers attack, I've been told.
Listen, there's tigers in the streets. There's no electricity. There's blue water coming out of the taps. Yeah.
Talk about this blue water thing. You haven't. Someone said it's a joke. It's the internet. It's bullshit.
Blue water coming out of the tap was actually at my brother's house.
Really?
So the tweet was my brother's wife. She initially sent a little video of the water because she sent the video of herself holding the glass, and I was like, what is this? It's you know, it's the end of January. We're not nearly at the April Fool's stage. And she was like, no, it came out of the water. And then she sent a video with the tap, with the glass and the water coming out of the tap, filling up into the glass and going blue. This was
right.
So the picture that everybody sees of the glass, of the hand and the glass, that's my brother's wife.
Yes. Oh, wow. So you can vouch that she's not making it up, that it's not bullshit. Because Joburg Water apparently came on and said, no, this is nonsense. There's nothing that you can do to water to make it that color. So
Joburg Water did come out to her house, to their flat. And what they live in a block of flats. And everybody else had no water in the flat. Joburg Water came out. They took samples of the water to test it. Is it drinkable? What's going on? Yeah, so this is her hand. This is her tap.
Wow.
Wow. And what they eventually said is that there seems to be a problem with the piping because there's no water in the pipe, that this water is probably backwashing from their bathroom cistern, because this blue color is the, you know, like the J's fluid or whatever, J's thing, yes, that you put in the, it's backwashing into the tap system. So then they had, because it's a new block of flats that they live in. So then they had the people who did the plumbing in the block of flats. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But yeah.
Still
but
not
it's
resolved.
Real.
It's, but real, it's real. Real.
Wow. Holy shit. Huh. I the only time I've ever seen, and I've got a chemical laboratory, the only time I've ever seen water that color blue is copper sulfate.
That is initially what the Joburg Water people had said, that it might be the copper piping. Da, da, da. And I was like, ah, I don't know.
But anyway. Jesus. Would you drink that?
Definitely not. And their big worry was, as you know, they have a 3-month-old little baby.
Uh-oh.
So having no water is, you Mm-mm. know, but they are those people. They are those people who have the water coolers. You know, those like they've always been the people who have. Okay. And I've always been like, listen, Joburg's got the best water in the world. What's your.
Well, speaking of the best water in the world, the one thing that is still missing from our new digs is a coffee machine. And, you know. I don't want to say that I'm a coffee aficionado or an expert of any kind, but I have rather got used to drinking my bean to cup coffee, which I have to tell you makes all that stuff that Jane makes at the studio horrible. It makes it taste. I call them cruel coffees. She takes instant coffee, puts it in hot water. And, you know, I mean, for anyone who's got used to this, that is like drinking that blue water, really.
Coffee.
So what do you recommend? I mean, let's because it is a big deal, and we mostly have, you know, all of our meetings and our guests, and we do our show early in the morning. That's when you need the coffee.
Coffee is an important ingredient to what makes life happy.
So who do you think makes the best coffee, and who do you think we should talk to first? Because we need to get this thing put in ASAP. It's like, it's one of the things I left on the cutting room floor when we started with the studio build and everything else. And now I'm upset that I left it so long. So I need quick answers. Pumi, who do you suggest?
So Illy, I think, makes really good coffee. Places that have Illy coffee, I really love. But I don't know if they've got like coffee machines. And everybody now has. We have a little Nespresso machine here at our office because there's not a lot of people.
Right.
And those pods, even though I feel like those pods are like an, they're hugely expensive, but also like all that like waste, you know, if you just one little pod, you throw it out every time. It's, but the coffee is good. The Nespresso, because there's also lots of different types. You don't have to use Nespresso brand. And there's at home, they have a whole lot of like varieties of coffees. So they have the Colombians and the Kenyans and all of that, but they also have flavored coffee.
I used to have one of those Nespresso machines. In fact, I think it's still in one of the boxes there at the studio. So I could always pull that out of mothballs.
Look, but you need a, at the studio, we need a proper one. We need a like almost industrial size machine because there's a lot of people.
Right.
Coming in and out. And you're going to put it. Nespresso is good for your home. But I have no coffee machine at my house.
Slippery Pickle says you need a coffee machine. You need that thing that makes a heart in the froth with a minimum wage barista.
That is the minimum wage barista that makes the heart in the coffee.
Producer Ryan is angling. He's like, can we get Starbucks?
Starbucks is very expensive. You can get Starbucks pods, but they've got a premium for that name, hey?
Hmm. Nespresso Recycle, which is, I suppose, part of what you were worried about there, Pumi. And Captain Cook says Breville, but I think they also, that's those huge ones that, you know, you need. They almost like an, it looks like the size of an engine.
Like you'd have to send Jane for training.
Yeah, no. That's way too. Listen, and those things, if something goes wrong there, you need to like order parts from Italy and Jesus, no.
We need something.
I reckon something like bean to cup that can be cleaned every day, that can be restocked with, you know, not outrageous.
You know what we also have here at the office is we have a little hand grinder. And sometimes when we're feeling ourselves, we have like different types of coffee beans that you can mix yourself and then grind the coffee. It's like a little ritual. Grind the coffee and then in a plunger, because that's also good. Mm. Like a good plunger is also. But there's, you know, at this, because there's a nice big kitchen at the thing, we can also get one of those, you know, those Portuguese like little coffee pots that you has the bottom thing. And
but that's too complicated. You see, again,
that is easy.
No, you want to press a button and all you must put in is water and beans, and you must press a button and it must make this. Little espresso, so, I'm happy.
Carl says they have three Siemens machines. Three, Carl. How many people are at your office?
Wow. And he says you don't have to spend more than 12K on one machine or on three? Yeah. So Justice says, Simpiwe went on a coffee shop spree the other day and she was tasting coffees and did a vlog. So maybe we must just talk to Simpiwe about it. No, really, I'll talk to her on the show tomorrow about it. She probably knows.
That is a clever little vlog.
Okay.
Is Lavazza still a thing? Yes, it is. Somewhere, yes, in some places.
Oh, Lavazza is just that. That's just a huge, I mean, that's the best, right? I mean, that's Italian. Again, it looks like, but it's almost like an art installation, that machine. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's got like pipes that come out of it. It looks like a Ferrari engine from the 1940s. I mean, I suppose it's meant to look like that, maybe. But I've got in my kitchen here, I've got a Philips bean to cup machine, which is just magic. And you know, you get lots of different beans from Kenya and from Ethiopia and from Costa Rica and Guatemala. You know, it's good stuff. So that's what I want.
So we also get a big thing of mixed pods from Take a Lot. And there's like a world one, and there's like four different types of coffee pods in there. Like the red one is from Colombia. The purple one is from Tanzania, yep. All of that kind. The problem with that though is some of them are not that great. And you're just like, now you've got the whole, there's 25 of these not so great ones, really bitter ones. And
oh no.
Maybe, yeah. But you're like trying different things out. Coffee guys. Coffee. I am giving up a lot of stuff. I'm giving up meat. I'm trying to give up sugar, but I am clear. I have had to give up drinking for health reasons, not for anything else. And I'm clear that I'm not giving up coffee, because if I have to give up alcohol, meat, sugar, and coffee, then there's no point living.
No, I agree. I mean, like, why be so miserable? You know, these people. You're going to, so you might live to 120, okay? But what a horrible life you're going to have. 120 years of misery.
Why would you want that?
I'd rather have 80 to 85 years of joy and happiness and excitement and, you know, having nice food and nice drink and nice coffee. Come on, please. I shared this. Let me just see if I could put this up on here, because this guy, I don't know who he is, but I loved it. I shared it on my Instagram yesterday. I don't know if you saw him.
No, he made me look. Oh, you're going to put it up.
I'm going to put it up on here. Yeah, he made me so happy. I'll show you. Just because we often talk on the show about whether or not we think that, you know, we may be, as South Africans, binge drinking alcoholics. And there's evidence to show that that's more than likely. But I saw this and I suddenly thought, you know what? That doesn't sound so bad, actually. There are worse things.
Sandile is saying here, what kind of Zulu am I that doesn't eat meat? A miserable one, Sandile. That's what I am.
Yeah, correct. A miserable, miserable Zulu that doesn't eat nyama. Horrible for me. So, all right, before I show you that video, because I'm just sending it from my phone. I don't know how to do this any quicker. A couple other comments on the coffee. Yeah, so this is a bit, I mean, someone's trying to make me sad about this, but there was an expose, Jenny says, on Al Jazeera, the little children who get to farm coffee. I don't care about the little children farming the coffee. I just want the coffee. I'm not worried if it's, someone else's child who's.
Yeah. I saw that expose. I saw that. And it's also on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. It's sad. It's terrible. It's all of those things. But if that's the cost of getting the coffee.
I don't care.
And you know what, Jenny? So it does make me feel, it makes me feel, because it's also, it's the chocolate, it's the sneakers, it's the, you know. But actually, the problem is more than just the coffee. The problem is the entire system of how we get what we get and how we get it cheaply and how we get it, you know, how we end up with 500 pairs of sneakers in your cupboard and all of that stuff. It's all exploitative to somebody somewhere down the line. So until we change the way the whole world works.
We can't help everybody, but I need coffee in the morning. Someone else's child has to pull it off the plants. I'm sorry. It's, you know, you'll have other health problems if you cut out meat. You will lose your hair, Pumi, says Nico. Very important. So don't give up.
What? Meat. I'm already losing my hair. Don't tell me that.
Bast Sana says, I will not give up Chardonnay. Everything else I'm prepared to let go.
Listen, that is it's one of the hard ones. So I like, yeah. I really like bubbly. I really like Pinot Noir. I like wine. I really like wine, and it's hard. So like I can have one glass or two glasses a week or maybe 2 weeks, but I feel it. So okay. I feel the pain afterwards. I am eating the sugar, but I had a chocolate last night.
Yonder says coffee has great qualities and actually has helped, has been debunked for being bad for you. It helps with heart diseases, Alzheimer's, as well as inflammatory diseases. Yeah, but I mean, like
it
everything.
It also helps with happiness.
Yeah, and energy, which frankly you need first thing in the morning, right? But, you know, again, we're not giving health advice on this show. I just think everything in moderation when it comes to the stuff. Like if you're having 8 coffees a day, you realize you could be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's too much.
I'm only having 2.
Well, then that's fine. Don't beat yourself up about it. And anyone who says to you, no, you must give up even those 2, then they just don't want you to have any joy in your life. That's all.
Producer Ryan says, why is there no drive-through coffee joint except KFC or McDonald's?
Very good question, actually. Ryan, now that I think about it, that is an excellent question. And Pumi, you were asking, I think just the other day you brought it up and we haven't spoken about it yet, but why are there no drive-through convenience stores?
Oy,
what's that?
Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to just like drive through on the one side, just tell them I need like milk, eggs, whatever, you know?
Right.
And then say on the other side, I just, don't have to stop, park your car.
I do think,
out.
I mean, like you do on Uber Eats, you can ask for groceries. They will bring you milk and bread and that kind of thing if you need it. I've never used that, but I believe it's very good.
Listen,
do that, right?
I am, so there's the Checkers 60 is one of the best ones. It really is one of the best ones. Yeah. But you can only get so many things, right? But it's just, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to drive through and not have to stop and get out of your car and find the 2 rand or the 5 rand to give to the car guard to like.
Right. Too much. It's exhausting and we don't have time, right, Pumi? We don't have time.
People are busy. It's also because I saw the thing about the Amazon store, you know, because there's now that everybody is talking AI and every, you know, kind of like that you walk through the store, you pick up all of the stuff and you walk out and it reads as you scan all of what you're picking up and it from your
right.
Apple Pay or whatever, you don't have to talk to anyone. You don't, you just walk through the store, pick up all the things you want and walk out the store. And it all
happens. Yeah, it scans you. I'm not sure I like that idea, frankly. I'm not sure that makes me happy. Well, because first of all, they're taking the surveillance and they've got your face on their database. I don't know. Someone could, you know, hack your identity, make a mask. Who knows? I'm just not comfortable with. You think we're already past? I'm just going to give up.
We're not going to stop that. We're not going to stop that. We're already there. We are already there. I try and kind of when it says when you download a new app or whatever or update an app and it says track across all other, and you're like, no.
Really?
Obviously, I have not clicked no on my Sears app. As you all know, Kaneko's favorite thing in the world is the Wacky Wednesday. And so usually I get on Wednesday mornings, I'll get a message from the Sears app saying, don't forget, it's Wednesday. But I've been tweeting about my no meat. I've been tweeting about like it's only been like a week. I think I'm on day 10 of not eating meat. And I tweeted about it a couple of times. And yesterday I got a message from the Sears app saying, it's Wacky Wednesday and you can try our meat-free options. So like, yeah.
Yeah, you see.
This is where we are.
You got to be careful. This marketing that lives in your world, it comes into your world and then it stays there and you can't get it out. I don't know if I like that. I'm not sure if I'm all for that. But what I did want to say is, and Ryan's reminded me, if you want to send your voice notes to us about the coffee and what suggestions you have, we want to hear from you. Let us know. Drop us a voice note. It's very easy to do. 0717836214.
And while we're talking voice notes, if you're watching on YouTube,
yes,
do the right thing.
You must like and subscribe. And here's a voice note from Barry, who is blind and wants to deal with Mash, who made a comment about blindness being an excuse. No, listen to this. You know, we don't shirk our responsibilities here on the show. Here's Barry. Listen.
Morning, guys. I listened to this morning's show. This is Tuesday day now. You were talking about Mash's friend who is temporarily blind, and Mash were going on about being blind, and you've got an excuse to do nothing.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's bullshit. I'm blind. I work with the police. I'm an operator. I studied law. I've done quite a few things that I don't think a few of my sighted pals have done. I've flown an airplane. I've done skydiving. Huh. And I've got friends who are into all kinds of other, well, also blind physios and journalists. So, bullshit. Nice day, bud.
Love it. I just don't know how.
He's also flown a plane, which Mash has never done.
Yeah, I wouldn't fly. Barry, I love you lots, but there's no way I'm flying with a blind pilot. I'm sorry. Skydiving. Imagine that. Whew, I wonder if it's as big a thrill if you can't see like how close the ground is as you get closer and closer to it.
I don't think the thrill is in the getting closer to the ground. I think the thrill is in the sensation of falling.
Oof. Yeah.
That's the thrill is actually in the sensation of falling and the air rushing past you.
Maybe it's more scary because you can't see. You know? You have no, I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating to me. So Barry just correcting us there and making us aware of the fact that as a blind guy, he's done lots of stuff and Mash is wrong to say that blind people can't do shit. All right. Here's the clip I wanted to play for you earlier. So if you're giving things up, because it's still, you know, beginning of the year, people have got their resolutions and things. Listen to this guy. You can't really argue. You can't argue with his logic. I'm not sure who he is. He's apparently a famous YouTuber or something. But here he is. Listen to this.
I will never quit drinking. I will never quit drinking. I will always make sure that I can keep my body healthy enough so that I can always drink. I love seeing a sunrise with a cocktail, seeing a sunset with a cocktail, having friends walk into your house with a bottle of wine, getting on a plane. Can I get you something? Double Jack on the rocks, lots of rocks. I love the moment someone says, hey, we should get a drink. And you're not supposed to. That feeling, it's like a first kiss. You don't get that first kiss kisses when you're married. You get to have those first drinks. At a brunch, someone goes, should we do mimosas? And then the waiter goes, actually, we have bottomless mimosas. And you're like, this is going to be the best day ever.
Dude, you just hype me the fuck up. You just hype me up, bro. That was like a locker room speech.
Yeah.
That's pretty inspirational.
I should speak at AA meetings.
What?
I
Who
love
the
it.
Hell are these guys?
Audrey says the guy called Bert Kreischer, and he's a comedian. So, okay. Bert Kreischer. I love that. I mean, why the hell not? You know, that guy, that makes a very solid argument, if you ask me, for having drinks. And keep yourself, you hear what he said? He said, I will make sure I keep my body healthy enough to drink.
Yeah. Look, so people in the comments are like, why are you giving up meat? Trust me, guys. It's not forever. It's just, it's a whole thing. I'm eliminating and adding because of, I'm eliminating stuff to see because I actually have been feeling quite shit. For a lot of different reasons, besides the fact that I'm now over 40, which in itself is depressing enough to need a drink every now and again.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not forever. It's just so that I can see what are the culprits in all of these things. But the sugar seems to be a very big culprit. And now that you've eliminated stuff, you know, you can feel it when you add it back in that, okay, my body doesn't feel so lacquer about this thing. A couple of years ago, I had an allergy, suddenly an allergy to nuts.
Yep.
I've never had an allergy to nuts ever in my life. Do you know what it feels like to not be able to eat a fruit and nut chocolate?
Hell no. I would be very depressed.
It was infuriating. And now it's gone as well. That's, you know, just... couple of years, couldn't eat nuts,
well,
and now it's fine.
We have the Burning Platform coming up later on in about half an hour from now, which is going to be fun. We're going to check in with Solly Moeng, who we haven't spoken to for, it's been a couple of months since we had Solly on. And we've got so much to get into there. I mean, you told me about the new Joburg mayor. You told me on Sunday night, I saw you at that Sia Khaleesi thing. And Pumi told me about this guy. I had no idea because I don't watch the news over the weekend. And Pumi was telling me about his body language and, you know, what he's where, which party he's been in and which one he's currently in. And Jesus, we have lots to unpack there. I mean, that's a whole other story. So we'll get to that just now.
Listen, no, the news cycle yesterday, the news cycle yesterday, by 10 o'clock in the morning, I was just like, I'm ready to go back to bed. But it was month end, so you've got like lots of month end paperwork to do. I couldn't go back to bed.
Right.
Spent the whole, what the effing hell?
Well, car power ships, state of emergency, the ANC promising they'll have the power situation under control by the end of this year. So much to talk about.
Has anybody else noticed that if Cyril Ramaphosa tries to get on a plane to go somewhere, like the chaos that erupts. Stages, we're pushed up stages in the load shedding. The minute he goes away, so he went to Namibia. Oh, suddenly we're going to be at stage 6. What was that about stage 2 and stage 3 for the next 2 years?
It almost makes you think it's coordinated. Almost. If you were a conspiracy theory, you'd say, that's interesting. It seems like the politicians have some influence on when things get switched on and off. Someone was telling me that Cyril lives quite near to our new offices and that he never gets load shedding.
He's not that near.
isn't he?
No, he's not that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you must show me where he lives. Hyde Park. Oh. Okay. Kampamba says, my sister and I were chatting about Nike Running Club versus Strava one night over dinner, and her TV remote has a mic on it for Google Assistant. That same night, Netflix recommended Nike home workouts. You see, this is happening. These things are listening to you all the time.
And this is why. This is why that ship has sailed, being angry about it, trying to, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Here we go. Jenny says, she says, your body is changing as you age. So Pumi, never underestimate walking and lifting weights.
Walking I do, but lifting weights.
Yeah. It's always good. Always good. Got to keep up a little bit of resistance on those muscles. There are lots of people here talking about all kinds of advice, but this is probably the best one is Congo Chris. Pumi, just fart. When I feel bad, I just fart, and that usually makes me feel better. So
I hope you don't do it in between the people, Congo, during the people. Generally farting. That is old people noises. Like that is
farting when they bend up, like they bend up.
That is old people noises. Those are the kind of things that you mustn't do. Mustn't do that, bebes. Let's just keep it together. Maintain the dignity even as we age.
A lot of people are also saying that, you know, cutting out sugar is the best thing you can do. So that one's a good one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see a downside to cutting sugar out. And frankly, I don't really need that much sugar. I've already cut down. For example, this little espresso that I have in the morning, there's no sugar in that. I like a half a spoon of sugar in my tea, which
I've taken
right down from two about, what was it, 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whatever. I used to have 2 teaspoons of sugar in my tea. It was way too sweet. Now, if I think about it, it makes me sick. But now I'm onto half a teaspoon of sugar. And I reckon I could probably get rid of that before the end of this year.
One teaspoon of sugar. I've cut out sweets. I used to eat lots of chocolate, lots of sweets, like Rascals. Do you know how good Rascals taste? But I've cut all of that out. And yeah.
Good for you.
Maybe in six months, you see how soft it looks over here because I'm a bit like, maybe I'll have like, you can see my clavicles. Maybe I'll be like a model. I'll be like, you can see my clavicles.
Very sexy. Congo Chris, to answer your question.
Stop it.
He says, farting in between people's the best. There's nothing quite like dropping a silent but deadly one and then asking someone, what smells like popcorn? All right. There is so much to get into.
So
we will. I know we will go to the political stuff a little bit later on because I don't want to get into Joburg City Power. I don't want to talk about, you know, internal wrangling and the corruption in political parties yet. I also don't want to talk about Lindiwe Sisulu and the 1 billion rand Tottenham Hotspur deal, which we will save for the burning platform. But maybe it's worth looking at this. A newly discovered green comet is on its way to Earth. Are you excited about it?
Of course it is.
This is like a very bad start to a Marvel movie, right?
A green comet. Oh, God. Tell me more.
I'll show you what it looks like. I'll do better than that. Even you expect just to see, just to hear the story, I will show you a picture of this bloody thing so that you can understand. Anyway, astronomers say that this object has been traveling towards us for about 50,000 years. Photographs captured by astronomers show a distinct green hue around the body of the comet. But those expecting a brilliant streak of emerald in the sky will be disappointed. Its brightness is right at the threshold of what is visible to the naked eye. You may have seen the reports saying that we're going to get this bright green object, but that's a lie. Away from light pollution and below dark skies, you might be able to just see a little smudge in the sky if you know what you're looking for. Would-be stargazers have a better chance of spotting it using binoculars in which it will appear as a faint white blur. Even a small pair of binoculars will help you. Comets are mostly composed of ice and dust. As they approach the sun, the ice is vaporized and the dust is shaken off to create that tail that we often see. If you're lucky, you'll see a hint of the tail coming off, so it'll look more like a classic comet, not this great green thing that they've promised us. Anyway, it's not, unfortunately,
always
for those people
building us up, always building us up, I know, to get us down.
And for those people who were hoping this would be Armageddon, I'm pleased to inform you that it's not that close that we're going to be wiped out like the dinosaurs. Oh. So here's
the
what they've
The raptor is not here yet.
That's what it looks like through a telescope, and that is about the clearest that you'll get it to look. I mean, it's beautiful, but I would love to see something like that with the naked eye. That would be amazing. Right?
That is nice.
Wendy,
be amazing.
Wendy says maybe it'll drop some kryptonite to help us dispose of some idiots. We can only hope.
Wendy, have we not learned that the idiots outlast us all?
Of course.
The idiots outlast us for some odd reason.
And they're plentiful. There are so many idiots. They're a sustainable resource. Right? Uncle Port says, I hope it hits my house and gives me superpowers.
What superpower would you like to have, Uncle Port?
On that note, someone sent me a thing that must be from Facebook or Instagram or something. It's this picture, and then it's got in the one hand there's the red pill, and the other hand there's a blue pill. You've seen this before, right?
Oh yes. But
this one got me thinking because it's not just your pill. No, so here's the thing: the blue pill is like an automatic $10 million right now. Okay.
No matter what the red pill is, take the blue pill.
Are you sure? Because
no matter what the red pill is, take the blue pill.
Oh, no, 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 no. The red pill's way better. I'll tell you what it is. The red pill, which you've chosen not to take, Pumi, you've just gone for the $10 million. The red pill would make you age 6 again. It would take you all the way back to when you were 6 years old.
I saw this. I would still take the blue pill.
But you would know. No, 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 wait. This is what makes it cool. You would know everything you know now, including what's still to come, including all the knowledge that you've gained over 40-something years, Pumi. You would be the smartest 6-year-old that ever lived. You would be – people would think you were a savant. You could predict what was going to happen. You would make the most of your life. You would spend time with people who you know are not going to be around for long. You would be superhuman. I mean, like, I can't imagine – And you talk about superpowers. If I could just go back with all the things I know right now to age 6, that would put me at about 1983, somewhere around there, right? I would do that in a heartbeat.
6 would be, I'd be a little, it'll be, yeah, no.
No. I would do it. I would love that. It would be.
Here's the thing though. Here's the thing. No matter what you know, no matter what you know, even knowing all the things I know today, I would not want to be 16 again.
Oh, I would.
I would not want to be 22 again.
No. I'm not saying I know. This is the best. This is the best age I've ever been at, and I might say this in another 5 years. I might say it in another 10. But I'll tell you what: to go back to age 6, knowing everything I know now, oof. What a breeze life would be. And I would be smart. I would make the right decisions. I would never, ever put a foot wrong. I would be spectacular. Put me back in the body of a 6-year-old in 1983. Oh, hell yeah. Give it to me any day of the week. Bring it on. I might be the most precocious kid in the world, but I would take that red pill any day.
I would take the blue pill. I would go on a cruise to the Arctic. I would drink champagne. My best life. No. With the people.
No. I'm sorry.
Really? I don't know if that's such a superpower. Like knowing all the things I know now. So it's nah.
You could. I mean, you'd have to operate within certain rules because you would know what was going to happen. You can't affect the future. So there would be, there'd be very strict rules about like not changing the course of history too much, or else you will, you'll be disappointed because you know what could have been and you might interrupt that. So that would be the only thing that would hold me back. But otherwise, bring it on. Red pill all the way. So at least we have some interesting disagreement on this one.
Lots of people would take the red pill. Just looking here at the comments, sure. Lots of people would take the red pill. But what is the point of having all of that knowledge if you can't do anything with it because it'll change the course of history?
No, you can. You just have to do it in ways that are not going to interfere. And I think there are ways of doing that. Like, obviously, you know, if you believe in chaos theory, the butterfly flaps its wings, it creates a hurricane. So obviously, there is always going to be a consequence that will change the course of history. But I'm willing to take that chance. To go back, I mean, what an adventure. Are you kidding? With everything I know now. Oh, hell yes. Bring it on. I went to bed last night dreaming about this.
Okay, so here's a question for you: with all the things that you know now, which two things do you think are the most valuable pieces of information you wish you had when you were, say, 16? So not maybe when you were 16.
No, let's go back to 6 because I've thought about it.
Okay, what would have been the most valuable piece of information?
I would know what was coming in South Africa. I would know that democracy and freedom are on the way in, you know, 1994, which is still almost, it's 9 years away from my sixth birthday. So that I'd be intrigued and fascinated by, and I'd watch it like a, I would document it. I would take it all in a way that I didn't at age 6. I mean, you know, nobody at age 6 is paying attention, but if I knew that was coming, I'd be watching the signs. I'd be just slurping it up. I'd be making notes. You know, I'd be the most studious little 6-year-old you'd ever seen. That would blow me away. I would also want to watch the whole world change. You know, the fall of the Soviet Union. I'm a history nerd. It would be brilliant to go back into the past with the knowledge of what was still to come. And, you know, along the way, meet people, talk to people. Imagine, you know, having conversations with people before they become the people that they become. You can't give anything away, but you just see what kind of people they were when they were still, you know, someone who nobody really paid any attention to. Imagine seeing Thabo Mbeki or Elon Musk, or, you know, these people were here in South Africa. They were all around. We could have spoken to them. Could have had these conversations. I think that would be fascinating. I'd love to meet you at age like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, I can imagine you. Precious child as well. I mean, it would be amazing. Come on. Love
it. I think it's probably very dull. You know, watching Kanego be 15 now is a very fascinating thing, and I'm often kind of trying to figure out myself when I was that age, and, you know, just watching him and kind of watching him go through the stuff. We got so he's in the chamber choir.
And, oh wow!
I know he's in the chamber choir, he's in the photography club, he does nice. All these things. Then we got a note asking about they're going to the Drakensberg Boys School because there's a festival, music festival, and the choir is going. And how do the parents feel in April or something like that? So I got a call from his dad to say, did you see this thing? And what do you think? Have you signed him up for it? Because I don't think Kanego's, he says to me, I don't think Kanego's really into this thing. I asked him about the songs. He doesn't know the songs. I don't think he's really interested. I think he's just going along because other boys are going and da 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 da. And I thought about it even this morning. I thought, yeah, well, when you're 15, you must just try everything anyway. You don't know what you like. You don't know what's going to, just try it. Try it anyway, you know? So try out the chamber choir, go to the Drakensberg Boys School and sing with the other kids. And maybe you like it. Maybe 20 years from now, you're not even going to remember the chords. But so what? And so, You know, that's kind of my view, is you just, in those ages, you just take it in. Play the tennis, play the piano, like, go to ballet. I did all of those things, and I don't do any of those things now.
I don't see how anything you've said in any way interferes with my red pill. I think you're almost making my argument for me. Oh, yeah.
You would know. You would know.
Yes. All right. Well, if Ruth, you think
she'd like to talk to Ruth Mayer and tell him a thing or two about Kodisa. Ruth...
Yeah, that could be interesting, Jenny. Yeah, that could be Ruth Mayer. Yeah, I think you've spelt it wrong, but I get what you mean. Ruth Mayer would be interesting. I interviewed him, what, 4 years ago? He is fascinating. He's a smart guy. He had some interesting conversations back in the day.
I was at a lunch presentation with him in December, funny enough. Mm-hmm. And he still had very interesting things to say about where we are today from back then and what he would do differently. Also, because I ask strange questions, you know, and also why they needed to get to the negotiating table and why it was so important. And I think that kind of conversation doesn't get had enough in the country for all of us to understand that it wasn't an altruistic decision to go to the negotiating table.
Yeah. Of course not. No, nothing in politics is altruistic. Come on. All right, so listen to this. Because this is something we've often talked about. Do you think that we live in an increasingly therapized world where the solution to every problem is therapy or counseling? You know what I'm talking about, right, Pumi?
Absolutely.
Overdoing it. So everyone's like, oh, I'm in therapy 3 times a week. I mean, if you're in therapy 3 times a week, either you've got major, major problems, and I hope in that case therapy helps you, or you're just bored, because who could possibly spend that much time talking about themselves? It's just insane. Anyway, we might have become a society where problem solving within the context of our personal lives requires professional assistance, provocative questions, possibly no clear answers. It's all explored on this week's episode of Beyond Madness, Psychotherapy. When is it enough? Brought to you in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, the sponsors of Brave. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, that's with Professor Christopher Paul Szabo, and it is one of our favorite podcasts, Beyond Madness. Make sure you download it wherever you get your podcasts today. Very good. All right. We've got one other thing that I think you wanted to get off your chest before we move into the burning platform later on. What are the things that you used to do religiously and now you don't even care about? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Give me an example.
Listen, it just occurred to me that we're just about to get into all this award season, right? So the Oscars, the Grammys, and I used to watch those things religiously. There's a guy that I used to work with who used to watch all the films that are nominated for the Oscars and then would take a lottery as to who's going to win in which category. I don't think I've seen the Oscars in 5 years. We spoke about the Golden Globes earlier last month. And again, yes. I was just like, comes and goes. And these are things that used to be, but there's also lots of stuff like that. I used to go to the movies all the time, but now, if I haven't been to the movies, I don't feel like a part of me is missing. And I wondered if there are other people who feel that way, that there's so many things they used to do all the time that they just don't do anymore.
Well, I fell off the Oscars, Golden Globe, Emmy, Grammy bandwagon years ago. I think more than 10, maybe even 12 years ago, I stopped watching that stuff. The only thing that brought me back momentarily, and it was really through clips on the internet, not the actual ceremony, was when Ricky Gervais was nailing Hollywood and just telling them.
I just saw that clip again yesterday.
Really, aside from him, and he was a glimmer of light on an otherwise very dark canvas, I could care less about Hollywood congratulating itself on anything. I've not watched one of those things from end to end since I was a teenager.
Sure. And it just dawned on me that I think also because there's so many more things. There's so many more things to do. So many more places to go to. So that some things just...
Well, I've spoken about this on the show before, Pums, but I don't watch TV. I mean, I used to watch a lot of TV. Television was a part of our lives. It would be on when you got home from school. You'd watch it at night with your family, or you'd watch movies on a Sunday on Mnet. Do you remember all that?
The Mnet's 8 o'clock film was a thing.
I don't do any of that anymore. If my TV's on once a month, it's a lot. I mean that. It's like I've got one television in this house. Yes, really. It's the weirdest thing. And then people say to me, what TV shows are you watching? And unless it's a series that I'm watching on my laptop, I don't know what they're talking about. And I don't go through series like a lot of people do. They eat them up, they digest them, and they binge from like one to episode 13 in a day and a half. I take a little bit longer, and I don't watch as many series either. But geez, I could do without a television in this house, I promise you. I wish I could give up eating rubbish as easily as a TV, actually, now that you think about it.
But if you don't watch TV, when are you eating the rubbish? Because those two things like go hand in hand. You're not just...
Don't watch TV. Promise. I wouldn't make this up. It's embarrassing because, frankly, there are lots of people who ask questions about TV shows because a lot of people's lives revolve around TV, and then you're out of those conversations. You stand around and they're busy talking, did you see this on this channel this week? And I'm like, you know, no, I haven't watched TV for ages. And then I feel very stupid and left out. Sorry. No. So, TV generally, awards shows absolutely. I used to religiously, during lockdown, I used to walk with my dog almost every day because we, you know, we felt trapped. So you had to get out there.
Tell me you did not stop.
I haven't been on a walk since I got this new dog. She turned one yesterday. So it's been a year at least.
No.
Promise you.
Oh.
Horrible. Yeah,
also going to the gym. I used to go to the gym at 5 in the morning. Ooh. For years. I used to go to the gym at 5 in the morning, and now, and then it was like 9. But now I just don't go to the gym. I'll stretch at home. I'll do yoga at home. Somebody was talking about the Nike Running Club app. I have the NTC, the Nike Training Club app,
right,
on my phone. And it's just, but yeah. But there's so, and I wondered, so why do you think you stopped? Did you stop because there's too much competing interest, or did you stop because you got old and it just, care about it anymore?
It slipped down the list of priorities. It was something that I made a point of doing during lockdown because I thought this is good exercise. You know, at that stage, at the beginning of it anyway, we couldn't go to gym. I wanted to get out. I felt like a bit of cabin fever. So it was important to be doing things like that. Now it's way less important. I mean, I did it every day with the dog. And now I'm feeling like I've really let that one go. What else have I given up that I used to do religiously? Well,
Ryan says he's given up playing games because it's concentration. That's hilarious.
Oh, really?
And also because the PS5 costs 15,000 Rand.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've never been a big gamer, so I can't say that that's something that I used to do. Congo Chris says, I used to watch the news religiously. These days, the news houses are so vacuous and captured. There's no point. News used to be informative. Now it's prescriptive. Totally agree.
The news, you know what? The South African news also used to be much more wide. Now, you don't get international news on the like 8 o'clock cycle or whatever. You don't hear much about what's happening in the rest of the continent. You don't hear what's happening in the East. I mean, crying out loud. Pakistan is imploding. And unless you watch the news on YouTube or any of those kinds of things, you'll just never hear about it.
Well, I'll tell you what I did yesterday, 7 o'clock last night. I interviewed this guy, a guy called Owen Matthews. He's written this book called Overreach, which you'll love. It's the inside story of Putin's war against the Ukraine. And this guy is the most informed person I've spoken to about it. So, you know, what I'm finding is to talk to someone like him is way more useful than seeing these bullshit artists on news channels who are trying to tell you about Putin and Zelensky and what kind of Leopard tanks they're sending in. I mean, listen, these guys don't know a damn thing. This Owen Matthews, he's the guy to talk to. We'll be playing that interview probably Wednesday next week. So stand by for that. That's going to be fun.
Nice.
But,
nice.
Yeah. Now that you see, I would rather do that than watch a TV program. You see what I mean? And that's part of work for me, but I enjoy doing that.
You get and this is also why I also kind of stopped listening to the radio because I listen to so many more podcasts now.
Right. Oh yeah. And listen, once you start with podcasts, you have them on while you're doing other things. And you don't need the news. You don't need television. You don't need the visuals. You get the story without the stupid clickbait pictures. You know?
Speaking of clickbait, did you see the headline last week about Christopher Pappas in The Economist? Mm-hmm. I think it was The Economist headline. And the headline was, how clickbaity is this? The white gay Zulu-speaking mayor that's shaking up politics in South Africa.
Like, Jesus.
How clickbaity is that? All of it. White, gay, Zulu. But anyway, there's a little article, but it was unnecessary. That headline was a little unnecessary. And that's what the news headlines are like now. You know, it's got to be like overly exciting.
Well, I also have to hit those LGBT terms, and you have to throw some race into it because, you know, that's what people pick up on, and people scan headlines, and they often, I'm not saying this is true for everybody. I certainly hope it isn't, but often that's the stuff that gets people's attention. So, you know, headline, they have to throw race, they have to throw LGBT, and they have to throw all that kind of shit in there, which is just nonsense.
Callistus Buseletswe says that we must admit that we're grown up and our brains are preoccupied by other pressing issues. I'm not sure if they're preoccupied by other pressing issues more than they've learned how to decipher what's important and what's not. I don't know if it's pressing.
Matthew says, what? Chris Pappas is white? All right. Well, it is 7 o'clock. We will be starting the Burning Platform next. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. Solly Moeng is our guest. We can't wait to talk to him again. Don't you go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.
I'm going to go and make a coffee.
Go and make your coffee, Pumi. I'll start without you, even if your coffee's not ready. CliffCentral.com.